Quickly, before I get into the word, I bring you greetings. I got calls this morning from the following people who said, please give my love to Saint Sabina this morning. Wish I was there. Spike Lee called from Thailand. Ron Stallworth, the Black Klansman, called. Harry Belafonte called this morning. He said, send his love. And Mayor-elect Lori Lightfoot called. She's out away for a few days and called. All of them wish you the best this morning. I want to welcome, well, they're guests, but they've been here before, but one of the greatest reporters in Chicago, Sean Lewis from WGN. Stand up, Sean. Welcome. Good to have you here. And it's Antonio Trover. Stand up. Welcome. Good to have you here. And he's the greatest weatherman in the world. And when you listen to him, you become a meteorologist. You know everything about the weather. Let's put your hand together for Tom Skilling. Love you, Tom.
Love you, sir.
We also, I know, have Don Engels and his wife, mother, and Morgan here. Where are they at? Morgan and Don? Oh, back there. Welcome. Good to have you with us this morning. And the one and only founder and director of the Soul Children of Chicago, Walter Whitman. Stand up, Walter. Love you, man. Wakanda forever. Y'all saw the Wakanda forever today? It would be easy on this awesome Resurrection Sunday to just come and celebrate the victory of Jesus Christ who rose from the dead. It would be easy to simply just bask in the benefits that Christ's resurrection power gave to us. I mean, think about it. He ripped the veil. Well, no, y'all didn't hear me. He ripped the veil and gave us access to the very throne of God. We don't need a high priest anymore to go get a word from the God, but he ripped the veil and said, come in to the Holy of Holies. He took the bottom out of our graves and gave us the promise of everlasting life. And most of all, he restored the covenant between God and his children, allowing us once again to walk with him and talk with him. To walk in the authority given to us to possess and to rule and to be in dominion in the land. It would be easy to simply shout and praise and celebrate the victory of the resurrection. For Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ did not raise from the dead, all of our preaching and all of our faith would be in vain. Buddy Rose. Somebody say, Buddy Rose. Sounded like you believe it. Say, Buddy Rose. Sisters and brothers, the crucifixion of Good Friday only becomes redemptive and only becomes transformative if it moves from crucifixion to resurrection. Sisters and brothers, Jesus taught us by his dying and his rising that crucifixion is a state. Crucifixion is a transformative action on the way to resurrection. Crucifixion isn't the end. It's just a transition. Say transition to resurrection. Jesus Christ moved from the state of crucifixion to resurrection. And so must we. Okay, y'all can be like that. I know y'all got your Easter outfits on and you bought them too small and they're all tight. I understand that. But you ain't going to come in here and look so ditty with me today. Well, I get real ugly with you because this is Resurrection Sunday. This is Easter Sunday. This is the day Jesus rose. So don't be up here cute today. Somebody say, not me. If Jesus Christ went from crucifixion to resurrection, so must we. His crucifixion was real. The nails were real. The crown of thorns were real. The sword in his side was real. The betrayal and the denial were real. But Jesus declared, on the third day, I shall rise. Crucifixion is a state, but it is not the end of the story. Okay, you tough today, I see you. Look at somebody next to you and declare it with everything in you. Look right them in the eye and say, neighbor, crucifixion is a state, but it's not the end of the story. He rose. He reigns. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. The question on this resurrection morning is, when do we rise? When do we rise? Paul tells us in Colossians, if we have died with Christ, then we have been raised in Christ. So the scriptures teach us that not only did Christ die and rise, but Christ died and rose with an expectation that we who die in Christ rise in Christ also. The scriptures teach us Jesus had an expectation. Say expectation. That when he rose, we ought to rise too. See, sisters and brothers, we have not been called to simply deny ourselves and die with Christ. But we have also been called to rise in Christ. And I'm not talking about the resurrection when you give your last natural breath. I'm talking about that we've been called to live as his resurrection people. Say, we have been called to live as Christ's resurrection people. See, Paul said it best when he said, I want to know this Christ and the power of his resurrection. He wasn't talking about when he died. He talked about right now. He said, I want to know the power of Christ and his resurrection. Now, I say this because it is so important to us in the day that we live in. And if you expected a happy, go lucky, scream and shout, praise, run around the church, speak in tongues, and fall out Easter Sunday sermon, you made a mistake and went to the wrong church. I say this that we understand that crucifixion is a state on its way to resurrection. That we understand we have been called to be a resurrection people. What's up, Eric? Sir? Say, I have been called to live as Christ's resurrection people. This is important because, sisters and brothers, as we look around the world we are in, We are living in a state of crucifixion. And it looks like we're stuck in crucifixion. Racism and hatred and inequality have been emboldened in a new way. Supremacy and entitlement have raised their heads with new life and arrogance. White supremacy and entitlement have been given a shot of Viagra. We look around the world and we hear threats to the closing of the border in Mexico, cutting off funding to El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras have become a conversation from the White House. An historic church in Paris burned from the roof on down to the pews. And listen to me, while I mourn also this horrific loss of this iconic, historic church, this church is older than anything in the United States. While I mourn its fire, I did not hear an international or even a national outcry when three black churches were burned in Louisiana. And I got to wonder, as $1 billion was raised in 48 hours, and then they said we will need at least $2 billion. And I wanted to find out, and I still want to find out. Sean, you're a reporter. Maybe you can find this out for me. I want to find out if any American money went to build this building back. Because while money is pouring in to rebuild a building, we still have homes that have not been replaced in the Ninth Ward of New Orleans. We still have not rebuilt Puerto Rico. We still don't have clean water in Flint, Michigan. And we still have people sleeping on the street in the city of Chicago. I love that you want to build a building, but build the people first. $2 billion for a building while people are starving in Chicago? The hell with the building. And I'm a Catholic, and that's a Catholic cathedral, but the hell with the building while there's people in the United States that have no place to sleep and nothing to eat. We are in a state of crucifixion. More than 50 young women and girls have been killed in this city. And we still cannot say whether this is a serial killer or part of a sex trade or organ selling. We're in a state of crucifixion. Our children continue to become roadkill to violence in Chicago. 6 people shot anywhere else in the nation is a mass shooting. 6 people shot at a shower, a baby shower, on the south side of Chicago it's just another shooting in Chicago. 15 shot, 5 killed since Good Friday. We're in a state of confusion, and we're in a state of crucifixion. $6 billion deal for the Lincoln Yard project on the north side of Chicago. And $1.3 billion taken from TIFs all around Chicago. Understand this. When they take TIF money from Auburn Gresham and from Roseland and from Lawndale and from Englewood to build the Lincoln Yard deal, when we want to build something in Auburn Gresham and Roseland and Lawndale, there's no TIF money left. So I don't mind you building whatever you want to build, but not on the backs of TIF money in Auburn Gresham and Englewood and Roseland and Lawndale. And now there's talk of a $19 billion development over the train tracks of Soldier Field. While the west and the south side landmarks are not skyscrapers, but boarded up storefronts and abandoned buildings, I don't mind you building anything in the city. Just start building on the south and the west sides of Chicago with the same aggressiveness that you build on the downtown and the North Shore. I said I guess the mayor was very angry. All sorts of calls, and he was angry at me because I was quoted in the USA Today. They asked me about Mayor Rahm Emanuel in the city of Chicago. I said he's done some great things, but Chicago is not good until all of Chicago's good. And public safety and education still depends on your zip code and your race. And that's not acceptable. And I told Mayor Lightfoot, and I love her and she's my friend, I'm gonna push you and push you and push you. And she said to me, and when you get finished pushing, push me some more. We are in a state of crucifixion. And that crucifixion is evident. And Sean, you know this, in the last mayoral election, Chicago was silent. 29% of people voted in the runoff election. When Harold Washington ran in 1983, 83% of Chicagoans voted in that election. In the past election, 29%. Because people are in the stuckness of crucifixion. And crucifixion brings depression. Crucifixion throws up your hands and says the system isn't working. And I agree that it's not. But the system's going to still decide your future if you don't get involved in the system and make it work. And the silence of crucifixion and the darkness of a crucifixion state has caused us to become absentee landlords. see a campaign we're sending out very quickly. We're calling you to a press conference. We're giving out new cards to put in everybody's windows in Chicago. It's going to say, "We report violence." The days of silence are over. We're not waiting till July. We're going to be preemptive now. We report violence. We're calling Chicago to get mad. Decide it ain't going to happen on our watch. Silence has called us to be absentee landlords in our own neighborhood. Accepting neglect, accepting abandonment, accepting whatever crumbs the system throws out. I told you before, and I'll say this again, and I'm not ashamed to say it. We elected Barack Obama. We all sat back and said, "Oh, everything's going to be good now." How is that working for you? I'm not hating on Barack. I love Barack. I'm proud of him. I celebrate him. But all I know is the South and the West Side ain't any different now than when he went into office in 2008. I'm not going to hide or defend anybody. And the same thing can happen right now. We have a new governor. We have a new mayor. And we better get active and aggressive and demand that they do what they said they're going to do. Otherwise, we will be in the same spot from then 4 years from now. It's not up. No one person can do this. We must rise up and demand a change take place. Sisters and brothers, we cannot be stuck in a state of crucifixion while the blood, sweat, and tears of the civil rights movement and the gains that were made are being unraveled right before our eyes. People bled and died. People were hosed down. People had dog bites on their legs for a better day. How dare us sit and see their struggle unraveled while we sit in a place of crucifixion. We have a president who have called for those running seeking safety in the United States. He called them animals. Work with me now. He called those seeking asylum animals. That's the same thing Nazis did to Jews. That's the same thing the Hutus did to the Tutsis in Rwanda. That's the same thing slave masters did to slaves. That's the same thing too many law enforcement and too many people in Chicago do to our brothers on the corners who can't get a job or an education. When you call somebody an animal, you dehumanize them. You make them less than human, and then society can treat them like animals. The problem is, Sean, in this day in which we live, when animals are mistreated, PETA will rise up and scream and shout, and people will come from all over marching on the treatment of animals. We've saved the whales. We've saved exotic birds, man. We still can't save our children. When you dehumanize somebody, you allow them to be treated like animals. And while all this is going on, the white religious right and Sarah Huckabee, Sarah Liabee,
has the nerve to stand and say, there's no doubt that this president has been appointed by God. If you don't want a reason to scream blasphemy, that's a good reason. Yes, sisters and brothers, we're in a state of crucifixion. And the church and the synagogue and the mosque have been silent. Sodom and Gomorrah was not destroyed because they were so evil, but because God and Abraham could not find 10 righteous people to stand up. Dr. King said, our lives begin to end when we become silent about things that matter. So while we have been so quiet, stuck in a state of crucifixion, we have allowed the religious right to act like they have the cornerstone on faith and morality. And so now, Walter, now what churches boast at, they boast about mega churches and mega buildings and mega congregations and superstar pastors. Some of them ain't nothing but hustlers with a robe on. I'm about to be 70. I don't care anymore. My filters are gone. Enough of the hustlers that get up in pulpits and condition the people to accept crumbs. Success today is defined by the size of their buildings, their homes, and their cars, while the witness of the gospel has become faint and absent, and our prophetic voice is in a state of crucifixion. Forgetting our tradition must be that we who call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ, our message is not to be formed by marketers from Wall Street. The message of the followers of Jesus Christ has to be marketed and founded and formed by the divine team of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Yes, we are in a state of crucifixion. But I come to declare to you, Saint Sabina, that Jesus said, on the third day, Jesus said, on the third day, you didn't hear me, Jesus said, on the third day, I shall rise. Well, I have come to declare to you, Saint Sabina, this is the third day. This is the third day. No, this is the third day. When do we rise? Today. When do we rise? When do we rise? When do we rise? When do we rise? Today, we must rise up. Today, we must come out of our graves, church. Come out of the graves of apathy and passivity. It's the third day. Time to rise up and break the chains of compromise and mediocrity and crumbs. It's the third day. Today we must rise up and tear down the ceilings of status quo and business as usual. Today we must rise up and dismantle the systems of injustice once and for all so they can't. build them back up again. Today, we must rise up and dismantle inequality, injustice, and inequity. Yes, today is the third day. And today we must break our silence about things that matter. Today is the third day. Rise up in peace. Rise up in unity. Rise up in justice. Rise up in love. It's the third day. It's the third day. It's the third day. It's resurrection day for the church. Today is our day to get up out of the graves. I said today is our day to get up out of the graves and rise up. Somebody shall rise up. Rise up. Rise up. Rise up. And I rise up, I like the waves, I rise up, in spite of the ache, I rise up, and I do it a thousand times again. The silence is quiet, and it feels like it's getting hard to breathe. And I know you feel like dying, but I promise we'll take the world to its feet.
Everybody on your feet. Put up your fists and say, declare today, I will rise up.
That we have each other, and we will rise, we will rise, we will rise, oh, oh, we'll rise. I'll rise up, rise like the day, I'll rise up in spite of the ache. I will rise a thousand times again, and we'll rise up.
With everything you got in you, shout with your fists raised, it's the third day. It's the third day. And today, we shall rise. You've got to shout a victory.